Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Are you tired of dents and scratches ruining the look of your car? Look no further than Porter's Body Shop in Brookhaven. Call us at 601-833-1861 or visit us online at portersbodyshopms.com.
Hello? Anybody home?
Dude, you gotta hear this.
What?
What is it?
This true force has never been fully understood.
Say, what is this?
It boils down to two simple words.
Rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
New England clam chowder.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right, let's keep rocking and rolling.
Wonderful. Couldn't have said it better myself.
It's rock and roll, brother, and we're rocking tonight.
Good morning. Welcome to the it's still the July 4th weekend, I think. It's July, what is it, 6th, I think, today. But we're still celebrating the weekend, which means a lot of people are still having cookouts and gatherings. And the weather's going to be touch and go, but mostly I think it's going to be oh go most of the day. I think the touch is kind of it's spotty. It's spotty. If we see any rain at all, I don't think we'll see much. And by the way, that's an opinion. That's out from our chief weather forecaster there, Lance. We'll get him on the air.
Yeah, I'm not chiming in yet. I've been off for the week. I've paid zero attention to anything, honestly, other than what has been in my little bubble for 4 or 5 days.
Yeah, it's a nice place to be.
A little bubble. And so I have no idea what the weather's supposed to look like today. I know it's blown up some nice storms in the last week.
Right.
It's been nice to have. Everything's greening up.
But today's pretty nice, I think.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a pretty day. It's probably going to be humid. All that rain that we've had. So if you're out in it today, make sure you have a towel around your neck.
Let me ask you a question, Lance. Being off for a week, do you know anything behind the window there? What's going on?
Yeah, I remember. I talked to Paul yesterday. He's like, yeah, you're going to be ready for Monday. I said, man, you do this as much as we do. It's just like your second nature.
No, that's right.
But really, when you think about it, there's a lot of knobs and bells and switches.
A lot to do back there.
And so you just got to keep it fresh in your mind, like anything. You're doing handyman work. You don't want to go 2 years without driving a nail in it. You remember it, but you may be a little rusty.
But in that same token, you get a lot of experience back behind that board.
I do. I actually had a wonderful conversation yesterday with an individual who, he has another gig, but he does a lot of music production.
Sure.
And he's a big synthesizer guy. I'm like, really? You're a synth dude?
Yeah.
And I said, Gary Newman, Tubeway Army, that. And he goes, he and his wife went to see Gary Newman like a month ago somewhere. I'm like, I love that guy. But, you know, he's big into the 80s style synth,
yeah,
recording everything and you know, your guitar and your piano and then playing it through the synth, which I'm a huge fan of. I mean,
sure.
I know it was kind of a unique little niche there for a while.
Indeed.
I loved it. I mean, it's just something about that era. But had a great conversation about that yesterday and all the things we get to do here, music and video, and it is a fantastic job to learn every day.
Yeah, it really is. And for sure, you know, I've been in long enough to realize that the broadcasting industry, as far as radio is concerned particularly, has really, really changed over the years, where it's become more than just a voice through a microphone, through a set of speakers. It's like, wow, radio has changed so very much. We're streaming now and pictures now and this and that. There's so much more to it today than there was like 10 or 20 years ago.
Well, and one of my favorite national syndicated talk show host is Lars Larson, and absolutely love Lars, and he's an amazing guy. But I would imagine 10 years ago, 15, 20 years ago, you hear that voice,
right?
But you never really meet him. You don't see him. You may catch him on the phone and say, hey, Lars, let's put you on, and you know, and you meet people through the phone. Now we get such a wonderful tool to use video.
Right.
So you almost, even though he's out in Oregon, and here we are in Mississippi, you get this connection and the connectivity that video allows. And radio gets everywhere. But, man, it's something about that video and seeing the face, seeing that smile, or, you know, engaging people. It's almost like you're in the same room, which I'm a face-to-face guy.
It makes that person come more into your house, which they would anyway through the radio speakers.
And you and theirs, too. You know,
All of a sudden, it's closer yet. So that's a really
It makes
really
things so thing. Much more close. And I think in what we get to do every day, especially things like handyman and gardening, where you can illustrate.
Yeah, we have a blast.
We have a blast. I mean, it makes, to me, being, you know, what am I, my second year working with you guys, and having that video and having the ability to display and show things, I think, really adds to our ability to describe. And when you guys say, hey, I'm having a problem with this.
Yeah.
Think about it. I mean, if you're having a problem with a leaky faucet or a toilet, take a picture and send it to us.
Send it to it. We can do more with pictures. And I mean, pictures tell a thousand.
They do. And Buddy, he'll take emails through the week and look at things. So if you have a question, don't wait to Saturday sometime. Right. Shoot him an email. Yeah. He gives that out.
Get to me. We want to talk to you.
And seriously, share those questions. Like, hey, I've got an issue with this. We had a great brick one about a week ago. With those things. That's a great question. Those things
Also, the one about plumbing inside a brick.
Oh, yeah.
That was great
stuff.
Great question. But no question is too simple or too elementary. Please.
Or too complex.
That's right. Yeah. We'll jump into the deep.
Throw the high, hard fastball at him. See if he can handle it.
We like the deep dive. Hey, coming up in about the second segment, Gary Parker is the president of the Realtors Association of Mississippi. He's going to be here, and we're going to talk about real estate. And so if you are in the market, or if your children are going to be in the market very shortly, or you're going to maybe move to another house, or you just want to know something about the real estate market between 10:30 and 11, it would really be a good time to pay attention, because we're going to talk a lot about real estate. And Gary Parker is he's not a newbie to the industry. He's been around a long, long time. That's why he's president of the Mississippi Association of Realtors. Look forward to having him on board. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. Right now, just handyman stuff. Hey, send us a text. We'd love to hear from you. Image, anything at all. We would love to hear it. Well, last week someone was asking about not only the faucet in their brick and what happens if it leaks. And we talked about it a little bit, which I think was helpful to some folks. But there's a lot of people that have leaks in their plumbing system that are actually do-it-yourself kind of fixes, like a leaking faucet or a commode that seems to be running all the time. Well, all that is doable, and it can be done by an individual. Now, it's true that there are some people that do not have the ability to do that because of one of their age or their disability or whatever. There are people out there, some of our sponsors, as a matter of fact, that have an individual come to your house and do as little as change light bulbs for you if that's necessary in your life. But if it becomes a do-it-yourself project that you can't handle, we have the people on board that can help you with that, and we'll be happy to share those numbers. But fixing a toilet leak, no big deal. Most times it's probably the flapper, which is inside the toilet water tank, water closet. And the flapper is generally made out of rubber or plastic rubber. And it gets distorted after a period, let's say a year or two. The rubber hardens a little bit, and the actual flapper starts to get a little distorted where it allows a leak from your water closet into your toilet. And a lot of times, just by changing that flapper out, you can really take care of your water leakage problem in your commode just by doing that. And how do you prove it out? Well, quite simply, you change out the flapper. And once you've done that, you flush the toilet, of course. Make sure the flapper's sealed tight. Look at the bottom. You don't see any leaks. Okay. Then take the top off your water closet and add like a few drops of blue, green, doesn't matter, food coloring dye in there to make that water in the water closet, a particular color. And if that color happens to leak out into your toilet, then you still have a leak. And you need to fix it. And it could be anything from your flush valve to there's many, many things that it can be. But all of them are pretty simple to fix when it comes to fixing a leak in a toilet. And also, a faucet can be changed. People were asking last week, how about changing a faucet? I think the hardest thing with changing a faucet, an existing faucet, particularly if you're not changing the countertop, is getting it undone from the top. And that's best done with what's called a basin wrench. And a basin wrench will work in doing just that for you and help you so very much. A basin wrench actually is a tool that can go clockwise or counterclockwise, and has its own grip on it where it grips the the nut that is actually holding the plumbing in place and will actually twist it. And you can do this from without going up, without sticking your hand up in between the sink and the wall because it's so tight. But that's what the plumbing, the basin wrench is made to do, and it can help you so very much. After that, it's pretty simple to change out a faucet. You know, it's something that is a do-it-yourself chore. I guess the biggest problem I've ever run into with doing that was I changed out my kitchen faucet, and the faucet that was chosen already had long water feeds on it with screw-ons at the bottom that would actually screw onto the shutoff underneath my sink. Well, the problem is the original faucet that was in there was done with copper piping, and that copper piping wasn't the same. It just didn't reach, so I had to do some little bit of figuring it out, and I made it work just right, and it has been working for 2 or 3 years ever since, and it works great. I'm so happy to have a new faucet in there. New faucets, relatively inexpensive, but don't buy a cheapo. Oh, no, it'll be plastic parts inside, and you just really don't want to buy a cheapo. You need to spend some, not a lot, not a small fortune, but you spend $75-$80 on a faucet, you've got a good one for sure. And you need to do just that. Make sure that you do get hold of a good one, and you'll be so happy you did, because it'll make a big difference in your life. But that's basically how that would be done. Also, while we're talking about faucets and sinks and whatnot, rust can start to build up in the drain of a sink if the drain is sitting in a cast iron or a sink of sorts. Rust forms around the drain, and it's generally a chrome drain or a gold drain or whatever color your drain happens to be. It doesn't matter. And there's a seal in there to keep water from getting in. It's basically, a seal is made with plumber's putty. But sometimes you'll get a little bit of rust in there, and you go, well, how do I get rid of that rust? And quite simply, go to the grocery store and buy a product called Zud, Z-U-D, or is it Bartender's Keeper or Bartender's Friend? I think it's Bartender's Keeper. I don't know.
I think it's a keeper.
I think
Bartender's
it's,
Keeper, I believe, is what it is.
We've
used it, but I can't remember.
Yeah, it's good stuff. I have some under my sink, and I use it just for that purpose, to remove rust whenever I have to from my plumbing situation. It helps a great deal. Hey, take a minute to tell you about Rebel Ace Hardware. Man, what a good hardware store. Rebel Aces, this is what I'm talking about. They've got stores all over Central Mississippi. They do a great, great job, and they want to help you. Customer service is what they do and what they do best. I mean, last week we had on Paxton Rooks, and we was talking a little bit about what Revel is all about and how they're like into the third generation of running that business. They've really expanded a great deal and intend to keep on expanding because they're very successful. And why are they so successful? Because they have great products at very fair, very very equal pricing. I can say that word after a while. But very equal pricings like the big box home centers, but better products and service. They have service like none other. I mean, Revel is a great, great hardware store. My friends at Revel, I appreciate their sponsorship of this Handyman Show. And, hey, go see my friends at Revel Ace Hardware. You'll be happy they did. They're open 6 days a week from 7 in the morning till 6 in the evening. Revel Ace Hardware. Great, great store. Hey, we're talking to you from the Build Mississippi Studios, and that's an organization that really, really wants to help the state of Mississippi, and does so each and has been doing so for a number of years. And in the past, it's been under the logo of the Mississippi Construction Education Foundation, and this year it's changed to Build Mississippi, which actually says a whole lot more in very few words, because it's very descriptive. When you look at Build, I'm sitting here, I don't know, those of you who are streaming, you can see on TV, you can see that behind me is a picture of something that Build Mississippi may train individuals to do, that is to walk on girders or on beams that are maybe who knows how high above the ground. But with the proper training, the proper care, and whatnot, that's what Build Mississippi is all about, to take people in Mississippi who have a desire to get ahead in life and yet have nowhere to turn. They don't know what to do. They don't really want to go to a four-year college. There's a whole lot of reasons why they need to find an area in which they can jump into and solve their problems. Well, they need to call Brent Bean at Mississippi, at Build Mississippi, and he'll tell you about their programs that they have in-house. He'll also tell you about colleges that are available that have programs. They'll tell you about high schools that are available. They also give talks at different schools about how people can learn to do something with their hands and really, really be very successful in life, like plumbing or HVAC work or electrical work or driving a bulldozer or driving a cement truck. You know, driving a cement truck is not like like driving my car around. It's a little different. That's just you really have to have your ducks in a row to do that and do it properly and do it safely. And there are, believe me, there are a lot of people that are trained to do just that. And that's what Build Mississippi is all about. So I appreciate them. They underwrite the entire program. They are great, great, great people. And we'll have Brent Bean on here in next few weeks. I've been communicating with him a little bit, and we will get to him after a while. All right. Let's see. We've still got a few minutes before we have to get Ralph in here. I mean, get Gary in here. Why do I call him Ralph? Hey, Ralph. I'm not, sorry, Gary. I know Gary's listening right now, so I have to be careful about calling him Ralph. I didn't mean to call you Ralph. At any rate, he'll be with us in a few minutes, and we'll talk about real estate at that point in time. Well, working with wood is like a time-honored profession. It's something that so much can be done with wood in building, not only sound structures, but also building artistic structures. I have a friend in Massachusetts that has a shop where basically how he makes his living is refinishing and redoing antiques, but he's a guitar designer and guitar maker as well, and has really got his ducks in a row because he understands wood inside and out. Unbelievably good. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Coming up next is Gary Parker with the president of the Mississippi Association of Realtors. And he'll be here in just a minute. Be right back. My name is Buddy Slowick. The Build Mississippi Studios. Don't go away. Back to me, great and long. Where you been so long?
Feeling down? Here's your prescription for a daily dose of good news and positive vibes. Good Things with Rebecca Turner. Every afternoon, Rebecca highlights all the good things happening right here in the state you call home. Daily exposure to Good Things with Rebecca Turner may cause smiling, feelings of positivity, happiness, and even laughter. When you experience these symptoms, tell your friends to listen.
Okay.
Weekdays starting at 2 p.m. here on Super Talk Mississippi and now on Amazon Alexa devices.
Hi, I'm Billy Kinder, host of Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. Hear the show Saturdays at 1, right here on Super Talk Mississippi. Turkeys, whitetail, Grenada Lake crappie, or Gulfport redfish. We enjoy it all, especially when you're in camp with us on Super Talk Mississippi.
Good Things with Rebecca Turner. Weekdays starting at 2 p.m. here on Super Talk Mississippi and now on Amazon Alexa devices.
On the battlefield, there.
Lord, I think I'll go back over yonder, baby. Way back over yonder across the hill.
You can just tell Lance has been on vacation because of the bumper music he's playing. Right, Jimmy? Go get it. All right. Buddy Slowick here at the Build Mississippi Studios. Gary Parker, president of the Realtors Association of Mississippi, is with us, and we're going to talk with Gary. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning.
Great to have you on board today, and we'll get your mic turned up a little bit, too, also. But we want to talk about real estate, and I know there's a lot of people out there in our listening audience that are either living in a house now and are thinking about changing and selling that house and buying a new house. And then there are also youngsters out there that are interested in buying their first house. And I think it would only be fair if we address all of those situations. I'll throw it to you in just a minute, but also, we're going to talk about some of the changes today in the realtor market, which probably weren't even in existence a few years ago. So take it from here, Gary. What do you got to say for yourself?
Well, buddy, you know, real estate has been my life, basically. I've been doing this for 48 years, and I've learned over the years that it's not about the bricks and mortar. It's about the people. Because we sell houses, but people buy homes.
Yeah.
And that's the main thing. And to actually sit down with people and to put your feet in their shoes and to know what their expectations are,
sure,
is very, very important for them as well as you. And you all have a goal that you're trying to reach, and realtors do that. That's just who, as their slogan says, that's who we are.
That's who we are, and that's what we do. And it's there's so much involved in selling a house just by itself or buying a house. I mean, it's not like you and your agent can do this by themselves. There's a plethora of people involved that are involved in getting into a home.
Yes, sir. You have got, buddy, you've got attorneys involved. You've got inspectors involved, appraisers involved, mortgage people involved, originators involved. You've got, you know, it's a complicated process.
Yeah, I learned about things like I knew nothing about title insurance. And all of a sudden it comes, what?
Right. And you know, all these things are important to your home buyers and your home sellers.
Right.
And it's you know, there's basically I saw a report where there's 83 things that a buyer's agent does for a buyer.
Wow.
And you know, these things aren't seen by the public, and
right,
and there's over 100 things that the seller's agents do for the seller.
Wow.
And you know, to keep our eyes on that, to know that, and to walk people through this process. And a lot of times people don't see what the realtors are doing, and they're always walking behind the scenes and doing these things for the sellers and the buyers.
Sure.
And you know, that's what we do.
Yeah.
And it's a complicated process.
With all of the action that has to take place in order to own or to buy a house, how important is it that the agent themselves use communication to be in touch with the client at practically 24/7?
Communication is a way of life. I mean, and to me, and of course, I'm from the old school. I've been doing this a long time.
And that's not a bad thing.
I believe in actually talking to people instead of texting and emailing. And you know, emailing and texting, technology is a tool. It's
right,
not a way of life.
Right.
And it's very, very important for the realtors to stay in touch with their clientele,
right,
and to represent them, because we owe them the fiduciary responsibility when we take on their problems. And that's what we do, is we sell or we solve these problems that people have. And it's a very, very important thing that the realtors do. And I think all realtors hold this very, very high in their mind
sure,
to represent those clients that they take on.
I think anybody who's a true realtor has a passion for it, has to really understand it and have such a passion for it that they're going to cross every T and dot every I, because that's what they do and that's what they know.
Well, and buddy, that happens to be my mantra for as president this year is purpose, principle, and passion.
Yeah.
And, you know, I believe in God, and, yeah. and I think that God put us here, and each one of us have a purpose in life. And right. I think I took on real estate as kind of a calling and dealing with people and dealing with their lives and that type of thing. And that's very, very important because just like I said, we sell houses, but they buy homes.
Right.
And, you know, as a realtor, we deal with principles.
Right.
In other words, we have a strict code of ethics that we follow, and we try to represent people in the right way, in an ethical way, and we're dealing with the largest investment most people make in a lifetime.
Well, absolutely.
And it's very, very important that we do these things. And, of course, we do it with passion.
Yeah,
in
sure.
other words, we
very important.
You know, if it's not in your heart, if it's not in your mind, and you know, I've seen situations that overwhelming. I've cried at closings. I've you know, it's a very passionate business
yeah.
to get into because
yes.
just like I said, it's not about the bricks and mortar.
Right.
It's about the people.
It's about the people, and people tend to have sometimes get emotional about certain situations and. Sometimes I can see where a new couple just getting into their first home and sitting at the closing, and then all of a sudden their homeowners is like close to overwhelming.
Well, and you know, it's a big step. It's and real estate is an investment.
Oh.
As you know, I have never in the 48 years that I've been in the real estate business, I have never seen anybody lose money on real estate.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
and you know, and I've heard that there's been more millionaires made in real estate than any other thing.
Sure.
And it's owning real estate. It's not selling real estate.
Yeah.
and that's important, and we have to keep all this in mind, especially with your first-time buyers, because yeah. they get excited. Your first-time buyers, buddy, they want to move into a house like mom and daddy have.
Yeah, right away. We got to have that 5,000 square foot, three or four bedrooms.
Absolutely. And you've got to kind of settle that down and talk some sense into people and to let them know what that road is that they're on. And you know, my mom and dad, when they bought their first home, and they stayed in that home for
sure.
forever. And, of course, they bought their first home, and I think my dad told me it was like $16,000. And, you know, it's three-bedroom, two-bath home, and the one I was raised in. But, you know, it's different now.
Yeah,
and people buy several times. They make those steps. They have a first-time buyer. They have, you know, they get into a home. They sell that home, take that equity, buy another home, take that equity, buy another home, until they get to their so-called dream home.
Right. So basically what you do with a brand newbie that's going to be a buyer and a young couple, and they're looking to get into that home like mom and dad may have, you have to deal with reality with them that it's not practical for them to get into that home. It's more practical to do the step system that you just spoke of to actually get to where they can be in a house like that. But right away, it's not a practical thing to do.
This is true, and of course, we are the professionals, and,
right.
and we do know how to get people into homes. We
right.
know how to qualify people for homes.
Right.
We have to sit down and counsel with people, and we talk to people, and we, just like I said before, we put our feet in their shoes. With the new laws, rules, it's not laws, new rules that we're fixing to have to follow, it's going to be even more important to counsel with people, and it's going to be a requirement to counsel with people.
Do the new laws or rules that are going to go into effect here in what you say in August, are they going to affect the just the realtors, or are they going to affect the public as well?
It's going to be public completely.
Okay.
No more, buddy, can a person that's interested in buying a house just pick up the phone, call a realtor, and go out and look at a house. They're going to have to sit down with that realtor. They're going to have a buyer-broker agreement signed between the two of them. They will know exactly what the realtor is going to make on the sale of the house. It will be negotiable to them and to the realtor. And it's important that people know that they cannot even look at a house anymore without having that agreement signed.
Wow.
And that's all over the nation. That's not just here in Mississippi. That is nationwide. And the Department of Justice has told us that we can no longer publish our commissions and our compensations on MLS. So now we have to communicate with each other, which, oh, my goodness, we got to talk to each other. Isn't that hard? But, you know, it's a situation there that's going to bring the professionalism of real estate back into play. It's no longer, and I always refer to it, and I'm sorry I do, but if it hurts somebody's feelings, it's you know, you're my mind went blank.
Never mind. I was going to talk a little politics here, but I'm going to leave it alone.
that was, you know, being compared to that.
I didn't do that.
Your home shows, your DIY shows, and all these type things. Right. I mean that you have a lot of realtors that have got into real estate for those reasons, and it's not about the people; it's about the house, and real estate's not that way. I mean, we deal with people, and we try to help people. And that consultation, that talking, the education realtors have, and the realtors pursue, and it's a constant thing. From 48 years, things changed every day, and every person is different.
Yeah, oh, for
and,
sure.
And that's the thrilling thing about real estate. But the buyers are going to have to understand that we just can't get a phone call right out and show a house anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, those days are over with. They're going to have to set up an appointment with the realtors and sit down and tell the realtors what they want. The realtor's going to have to tell them what they want. They're going to have to consult. They're going to have to talk. And that's, you know, I don't think that's a bad thing.
And you said that fee is negotiable?
Yes, sir. Wow. It always has been, buddy.
Oh, it always has been?
Yes, sir. Okay. There's not a standard fee for any realtor. All fees are, you know, whether you're listing a house, whether you're selling a house, whatever that fee is, it's all negotiable. It always has been.
Wow, that's somehow I didn't realize that. I'm glad to know that's just not really part of the law coming up that things should be negotiable because they already have been.
Right.
That's important to know.
Can't set commissions.
Say it again?
Cannot set commissions.
No.
Isn't that right? You can't have a agreement amongst the group of realtors that where you have a set commission. Therefore, it must be negotiable, and that was what he's saying. And so you can't just go say 2% or 3%. All that's negotiable, and realtors can't get together and set that commission. Is that correct, Mr. Parker?
Yes, sir. That is correct, and that is actually against the antitrust laws.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that like price fixing?
Right.
Yeah,
that's against the law to do, and I in my years in the real estate business, but I've never seen it done. And it's voodoo for realtors, and the realtors explain that,
right?
And that's very, very important for everybody to understand. The commissions have never, or compensations now, what it's called,
right,
have never been standard. It's all been negotiable, and it always has been.
So in a sense, not a whole lot has changed, except maybe you have to make an appointment and do that stuff for him.
Yes, sir. You're going to have a buyer broker consultation in writing signed by both parties before you go look at houses.
Right, right. And then reality strikes, and you have to start looking at maybe houses that are beyond your reach financially, because you have to set up yourself a certain way in order to buy a home. You have to be in a certain condition as far as your debt-to-income ratio and your credit score, all that. Your ducks have to be in a certain row, and you have to have a certain amount of money in order to get into a new home.
Exactly.
But if you're a first-time buyer, are there programs out there that can help you with this?
Yes, sir, and that's very important to understand too. The seller compensating the buyer's broker or is not out of the picture anymore. We just cannot receive that through the MLS. We have to talk to each other, and of course we have to know what our buyers want to do,
right,
and what direction they send us in, and we know all this up front. That's the purpose of all the consultation, and they know what we're going to make. They know how we're going to receive our commissions or compensations. So, you know, this new change is going to be serious in a way, but it's also going to be very good in a lot of ways.
It sounds to me like we're kicking a little bit of technology out the window and going like face to face.
Absolutely.
I like it. Buddy Slowick, this is the Rock and Roll Handyman Show at Build Mississippi Studios. Gary Parker, president of the Mississippi Association of Realtors, is with us. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Don't you go away on Super Talk.
Whether you're a rebel, a bulldog, a golden eagle, or just a sports fan, Super Talk Mississippi has got a podcast for you. For you. Sports Talk Mississippi, The Rebel Report, Thunder and Lightning, the Super Talk Eagle Hour are all now available for you. And it's all free. Free. Get them all on demand at supertalk.fm and on your smartphone. Just search for Super Talk on iTunes, Google Play, or anywhere you listen to podcasts.
While most people are settling into their cubicles and sifting through their inboxes, others are busy building the foundation of the future. One brick, pipe, and electrical line at a time. The construction industry in Mississippi needs over 100,000 skilled tradespeople now. If you're looking for an in-demand, well-paying career, visit buildmississippi.com to discover rewarding careers in the trades. Buildmississippi.com. Your future is waiting. Let's build it.
Spring.
You'd think this is a festival of sorts. Well, it is. And that's a handyman show right here at Super Talk Mississippi.
You get a, like, you know, Gary Parker in here, it's a party.
It's a party. We're going to have a party, Gary. Build Mississippi Studios. Gary Parker, president of the Mississippi Association of Realtors, is with us this morning, and we're going to talk with him a little more about what's going on in the real estate market. As far as people getting prepared to buy a house, really nothing has changed. Is that true? They still have to have, is everything pretty much the same? In other words, the percentages and the money they have. The only thing that's changed is inflation has made it larger.
Well, your interest rates have brought the price of homes from the standpoint of what that people can qualify
right.
for down. In other words, the when the interest rate goes up, their payments go up.
Right.
It doesn't necessarily mean the price of homes come down. It just means they're going to have to settle for a lesser amount on their mortgage
sure.
and this type of thing.
And question with that, I wanted to mention, because yeah. I dealt with that, but with higher rates, obviously going out and buying an RV or buying a BMW or something like that before you try to get qualified has a great impact on your ability to borrow, because you only can borrow so much money, right, Mr. Parker? I mean, there's only so much.
That's it.
So if you go buy big things first, then when you go to try to buy that house you want, you might have to sell some things.
Yeah.
You got to be careful in these times. And two, always show up with a pre-qualification letter. That's something that I've learned over time. If you have that, now that doesn't last forever, right? You know, you come in, you go, okay, I can afford a $300,000 home. Well, if you go buy some stuff after you got that pre-qualification letter, you might not be able to afford a $300,000 house anymore. So touch on some of those things that are risky for a new homeowner or someone kind of going through that, where the realtors are really going to help you with that mindset. Like, hey, this is how it's going to work, and this is how we need it to work.
Well, and you're exactly right. You know, we've got a saying in real estate that it's not closed till it's closed, because you never know what your clients are going to do, but that's what the consultation's for.
Yeah.
You sit down and tell them the do's and don'ts in buying, and nobody needs, a lot of people will put a contract on a house and they get excited about it and go start buying their refrigerators and their couches and furniture and everything. And then when the credit reports run right before they close the loan, they've They've moved themselves out of the house as quick as they moved it in. So, yeah. You know, people need to know these things. And it's all about priorities. What is your priority? And it does not matter if you go buy these things after you buy the house. But buying them before can definitely affect your ability to qualify for that house.
So anybody who's interested in buying or selling a house should first be aware of what they need to do to get ready to do that, and that includes being careful about buying something new, and they'll get that information from a realtor.
Yes, sir. That's what
the face to face is all about.
That's what I was fixing to tell you. If you get it on your mind that you're ready to go out there and take the plunge and invest in real estate, then at that point in time you need to sit down with a realtor and go over the wants, the needs, and this type thing, and find out just exactly how it's done, because a realtor is going to tell you. They're going to tell you the different steps that it takes, and they're going to tell you that you don't need to just – your anxiety can take hold of you, and you need to slow down a little bit and take a deep breath and realize that there are certain steps that the mortgage companies have to have and have to do and have to perform. And people get aggravated with all the questions. Well, you know, a lot of times when they're going to give you $200,000 or $300,000, they need to be asking questions.
Yeah, you need to answer them, too. And you need to get, you,
that's
you
right.
Be, you need to be right with whoever's doing your mortgage for you. I read I don't know if it was on the news or on the net, I really don't know, but I read this week, it said, a detached single-family home in a subdivision or in the suburbs, three bedrooms, two baths, 1,860 square feet, the average price, and I think this is a national average, this is where I'm going to ask you to jump in, they're saying the average price of that home is $1,900. I mean,
$400.
Thank you, $400,000, or just above $400,000.
Well, buddy, the way I'm going to answer that question is to tell you that real estate is territorial. I mean, you know, what they're selling houses for in California is a whole lot different than what they're selling for in Mississippi.
Absolutely.
It's very easy for a person from California to come to Mississippi and buy a home. It's very hard for a person from Mississippi to go to California and buy a home.
Yes, sir.
So, you know, and I'll break it down to there's different prices from the standpoint of buying a home in Gulfport, Mississippi, and buying a home in Tupelo, Mississippi, and buying a home in Jackson, Mississippi.
Sure.
I mean, prices vary from place to place, and it's all determined by your comparables. Your appraisers are responsible for this. You've still got to deal. I don't care what the Department of Justice or any of those people are putting on us. We deal with appraisals. You're not going to pay over what that house is worth, and your appraisers are there to check that, to make sure that the mortgage companies know what that house is worth before they give you the money to buy that house.
Simple question. What's your opinion on adjustable rate mortgages?
Did you say adjustable rate?
Did you run away?
You know, I was in the real estate industry where adjustable rate mortgages was they were risky because there was no caps on any of them, and they could go up as high as the mortgage companies wanted them to.
Sure.
You know, adjustable rate mortgages have their place when times, and most of your mortgage companies now that go along with adjustable rate mortgages and everything are in full understanding that the people will probably refinance that home when, you know, rates come down.
Sure.
So and that's always possible as well.
As
so,
long as your financial condition doesn't get worse or things change in the negative over. And I spent, you know, 08 as a financial advisor and a realtor, and I had a client that kind of got upside down on a bunch of homes that he had built. And when you owe more than what they're worth, kind of got to be patient, or you got to take a bath. So, you know, the old adage that homes always go up in value, over long periods of time they do, and they're very safe investments. But if you get into those adjustable rate mortgages in the bottom and something happens on the negative side, you know, the bank's going to come a-calling a lot of times, and you just got to be very careful with that on that, hey, I'm going to refinance in a year. Well, we don't know what's going to happen in a year.
Well, that's very true. But, I mean, in most of your adjustable rate mortgages will help you the first couple of years that you own that home.
Right.
But, you know, And you need to understand all those intricacies, and your realtors will be able to explain this to you when you sit down with them to counsel with them.
Right.
And you can ask those questions. And the market changes daily.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you what the interest rate is today, but I have no clue what it's going to be tomorrow.
Very few people do.
It's going to be affected by the different world conditions that we're in. So, you know, and is now the time to buy a home? Absolutely. Because you're either going to deal with high prices of homes, which we are,
yes,
as well as high interest rates. But think about it from this standpoint. Those interest rates are high, but the homes are going to be higher and affect your payments anyway.
Yeah.
Now is still the time to buy a home.
Correct. And it just seems like it doesn't matter where the rates go. Now is still the time to buy a home.
That's right.
You know?
Exactly.
Gary, I'm about running out of time.
I'm sorry. I'm having a lot of fun.
And I am, too. I'm having a blast. You should stay for the music segment. We have more fun on the music. We go crazy, man. That's coming up here in the next half hour. Hope you stick with us at the Rock and Roll Handyman Show here at the Build Mississippi Studios. I want to thank Gary Parker, the president of the Mississippi Realtors Association. Gary, thank you for being here with us, and I hope that people listening got some good information out of it, and I agree with you. Face-to-face is just the best way to do anything at all.
That's absolutely right, and thank you for having me.
You're quite welcome. Hope you have a great weekend. All right.
Okay.
Handyman Show. See you later. Be back in a few minutes.
It's our 30th anniversary here at Pearl River Resort, and we're celebrating big time all month long. Come see us on Fridays and Saturdays in July for our $90,000 red, white, and wheel drawings. Get in on the action from 7 to 11 p.m. when we draw a winner every hour for your chance to win up to $3,000 cash. Pearl River Resort, celebrating 30 years of total entertainment.
Must be 21 or older to play.
Superior. It's more than a name. It's a promise that we make to our customers to provide you the highest quality U.S. farm-raised catfish at your favorite restaurant, your family reunion, or on your dinner table. Hey, this is Steve Azar, and I want to let you know that with Superior Catfish, you know the next bite is as good as the first, time after time, made possible by your friends and neighbors here in Mississippi. Remember, there's catfish, then there is Superior Catfish.
Hi, I'm Jim.
Hello? Anybody home?
Dude, you gotta hear this.
What?
What is it?
This true force has never been fully understood.
Say, what is this?
It boils down to two simple words.
Rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
New England clam sugar.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right, let's keep rocking and rolling.
Wonderful. Couldn't have said it better myself.
It's rock and roll, brother, and we're rocking tonight.
Let me hear it.
Hey, welcome to the Rock and Roll Handyman Show right here at Super Talk Mississippi. My name is Buddy Slowick, and we're going to we're at the Build Mississippi Studios, by the way, and we're about to head into a music segment, and it's a little different today, kind of more familiar artists than I sometimes like to dive into deep things that are just different than most, but we're going to start a little bit today, and it is the 4th of July weekend, so I thought we'd start with a USA song. It's called Living in the USA by the Steve Miller Band in 1968, and it should be said that I know Garden Mama this morning on one of her bumper music, she played Lido Shuffle by Boss Skaggs.
Oh yeah, definitely.
He used to play with the Steve Miller Blues Band, and he quit. He was there from 67 to 68, and in 68, Living in the USA came out, which I don't think Boss played on, but Boss was an amazing, amazing artist, played by himself. Well, when Miller was young, Les Paul and Mary Ford lived very close, and they were very good friends of the Miller family, and they would come over and visit all the time. And that's how Steve Miller got really inspired to play guitar, because I mean, just you can imagine just hanging around Les Paul. You know, wow. No, I can't. But at any rate, that's how Steve Miller learned to play. And it turned out where Les Paul really inspired him to be the artist that he is. But let's listen to Living in the USA, Steve Miller Band, 1968, the original version. Yeah. gotta get away. All right. I wasn't really that big of a Steve Miller fan when it came to doing all the popular songs that he did, but I think that version of Living in the USA is pretty darn good, and I enjoyed it very much. It was really good. Another group that I've enjoyed, and I've always enjoyed the Atlanta Rhythm Section. They are just an amazing, amazing band. They were formed in 1970, and some of their members were the studio band for the Classics Four. The Classics Four had a number of major hits, and for a studio band, they used the Atlanta Rhythm Section, and they did some amazing, amazing music. But the Atlanta Rhythm Section by itself had a number of great, great hits, and I don't care to go into a lot of their top 40 stuff that really was amazing that everybody knows. One of the songs I think that really stuck out in my mind is a song called Homesick by the Atlanta Rhythm Section. Let's give a listen to Homesick. Section, great, great group. I enjoy them very much. I always have a number of their albums. They're just amazing, amazing to me. Well, another artist that has really played in a lot of different venues with different groups and whatnot, but also has had a solo career. But one of my favorite venues that he's been a part of is Neil Young and Crazy Horse. When you start talking about Neil Young and Crazy Horse, you start talking about garage band kind of music, because that's what Crazy Horse did. They did everything. They didn't worry about the high polish and the high sheen that a lot of producers will put on a sound. They did things just almost raw. And Neil Young and Crazy Horse did a lot of that type material. And one of their albums called Rust Never Sleeps is a great album. Truly an album that just goes back and touches on some really good things. Young himself, Neil, is a great picturesque songwriter, and it can, whether he's playing with Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young, or he's playing by Neil Young by himself, or or another duet or whatever, or he's playing with Crazy Horse, absolutely fantastic. Neil Young and Crazy Horse, Powder Finger, great song. Give a listen to it. Sounds good.
Look out, mama, there's a white boat coming up the river with a big red beacon and a flag and a man on the rail. I think you better call John, cause it don't look like they're here to deliver the mail, and it's less than a mile away. I hope they didn't come to say,
Is that garage band music or what? I mean, we used to do that kind of thing in Massachusetts in my mother's barn where our group practiced a lot. And we had, it was like a garage band. I loved it. And that was about the same time I got into Neil Young and Crazy Horse. And I was just, they are just amazing. I liked the rawness of it. And I know that sounds kind of strange, but it's true. I really do. Another artist, actually, she's from Canada as well, a Canadian-American artist, as is Neil Young. And that's okay. Alanis Morissette had a number of great, great hits during the 90s. Her vintage album Jagged Little Pill came out in 95 and had songs like Ironic and things like that on it that are just amazing. But she has a unique, a great voice that just is a little different than most and has a great way of putting a song together. And there's some things about Alanis Morissette that I really, really, really do enjoy, and I think she really hit the nail on a number of things. And one of the songs that stuck with me a whole lot, that I like a whole lot, was Alanis Morissette from her album. I think, I don't think it is from her album, but at any rate, it's called Head Over Feet, Alanis Morissette. Let's give it a listen.
I had no choice but to hear you. You stated your case time and again. I thought about it. You treat me like I'm a princess. I'm not used to lying there. You ask how my day was. You've already won me over in spite of me. Don't be alarmed if I fall head over feet. And don't be surprised if I love you for all that you are. I couldn't help it. It's all your. Your love is thick and it swallowed me whole. You're so much braver than I gave you credit for. That's not lip service. You've already won me over in spite of me. And don't be alarmed if I fall head over feet. And don't be surprised. For all that you are, I couldn't help it. It's all your fault. You are the bearer of unconditional things. You held your breath and the door for me. Thanks for your patience.
Alanis Morissette, she's playing the harmonica too, by the way. Very, very good. I think we've got time to get this other little talk in before we do the outtake, and I'm going to try. You just kick it. It kicks when it kicks, so we'll see what happens. But I'm talking about a person named, I don't know if you've heard this name or not, Andrew Winton, and he is from Australia, from Perth, Australia, and a unique lap guitar player. He has played every type of lap guitar that you can imagine. He's been doing it for years and had a number of major hits in Australia. But check out Andrew Winton on your computer, on YouTube, and see some of the string bass. He plays on this particular out a 7-string lap guitar bass that he just by himself sits and plays, and we're going to pick it up here in a little while. And it's just he's an amazing, amazing artist. One of the comments on his Facebook page was, or on his web page was like, did this man trade his soul for his talent? And, you know, you really wonder, because some of the things he does with that lap guitar are just unheard of. Now, I'm talking big time about lap steel and lap guitar, and I really have a lot of respect for Macon Levette, who is really with the Larkin Poe. So she's one of the sisters, Rebecca and Megan, and she plays the lap steel. And she is today supposed to be the lap queen of the industry, or according to some people. But this guy is just a different type animal. He's really, 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 really worth watching and looking at. And he's wearing a headband and long hair, and just an amazing player that really kicks your interest and piques your interest, and really you want to listen to him. So, Andrew Winton, let's give it a little listen to it.
Thunder and Lightning Catfish Tour, presented by Superior Catfish. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of the Thunder and Lightning podcast trek around the state to its finest purveyors of catfish and talk food and, of course, Bulldog sports. Catch the show anywhere you listen to podcasts. For generations, Superior Catfish has cultivated fresh, delicious catfish, and they perfected a process to ensure you receive the finest product available. Remember, always ask for Superior Catfish at your favorite grocer and restaurant.
Join us each Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for the Word of Truth here on Super Talk Mississippi. That's the Word of Truth each Sunday at 7:30 a.m. on your local Super Talk Mississippi radio station or online at supertalk.fm.
Supertalk.fm. Supertalk.fm. Your one stop for all the news that matters in the Magnolia State. Supertalk.fm. Everything you need to know at your fingertips. Supertalk.fm.
Muddy water take my pain away. Yeah, and it will too. I grew up in an area in Massachusetts by the Cape Cod Canal, and the Cape Cod Canal is on one side is Cape Cod Bay, and the other side is the and I guess it's where the Cape Cod Sound. It's a little different, and what happens is the tide each 6 hours in that canal goes in a different direction. And then there's also a slack tide where the water is absolutely still. But generally speaking, the water is either going one way or the other way. And it rises and lowers on the canal. And to watch that taking place and watching ships go by and watching the whole power boats and, you know, beautiful sailing vessels going by, it was amazing to sit on the banks and just watch that, muddy water take my troubles away. It's the same situation. I would sit in the banks of the canal and watch those ships or those boats or those people go by or just watch people fishing. It was a great place. It had on each side of the canal, there was a little bit of a road that was really a service road for service vehicle for the Army engineers who ran the canal. They didn't run that road very much with the service vehicles, so it turned into more of a bike path that you could ride your bike on, and that was the most enjoyable bike ride. But I have gotten in trouble on that before because I would get on my bike and went riding. It was so much fun, so easy. And I'm going, wow, this is great. I get about 5 miles from the house and go to turn around and the wind's blowing against me now. And it's harder to drive back than it is driving up. Much harder. The wind's blowing against you, so it blows a lot harder. But, growing up in the Cape, it was a great place to grow up. But at any rate, let's get back to doing some handyman stuff. Building furniture. I talked about this earlier. Building furniture is an enjoyable adventure. And a lot of people take a lot of pleasure from building all sorts of furniture, whether it be farmhouse furniture or actually designer furniture to actually look like it belongs. And it takes more tools to do a real fine piece of furniture than it would take to do a farmhouse furniture. But at any rate, the beauty of building furniture is you get to go buy tools. And any tool that you get to go buy is buy a good one. Don't buy the bargain basement brand. Always buy a decent quality brand name tool and keep it in good shape and keep it where you know it will be so that you can use it when you want to. But building anything makes you feel good. And it's really not a bad idea, once you get something built and accomplished, to go ahead and mark it down in a notebook. And that notebook should be nothing but things that you've accomplished in your life as far as building is concerned. I built a table and I built chairs. I built, and have certain dates behind them. It helps a great deal. But there's also a website you can go to where you can get free plans for building furniture, or you can subscribe to it and get more detailed plans and cutting sheets of how to build an actual piece of furniture. Go to Anna White. That's ANAWhite.com. And she's from Alaska and has moved up to Alaska with the thought of maybe building a little furniture. And really, people started buying her furniture, and she started making plans, and it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And now it's a major deal. The AnnaWhite.com. Go there and check out what furniture you might be interested in building, and there will be a set of plans for them. And those plans are very accurate. I've used them before, and it really does help in building any kind of furniture that you want to build. And most times, furniture is built out of wood. Wood is so variable. You can get so many different types of wood and do different things with them. Some is softer than others, some is harder than others, and it's just a matter of knowing what you're getting and what you want to build. Building a fine piece of furniture out of teak could take some. A teak is pretty hard material, so it'd take a really sharp cutting tools, and you'd really have to have your ducks in a row in order to build something out of teak. To build farmhouse furniture, which is a little bit more rustic or rougher, well, it's going to be a little easier, and you won't need quite as many tools as you would to build a fine piece of furniture. But it's such a great, great thing to build furniture and to know that you've built something and look at it and say, even years down the road, to go, wow, I built that years ago. That makes me feel pretty good. And it should make you feel good, because who cares about you more than you? Nobody. Nobody. Well, maybe Jesus. But at any rate, keep that in mind. That's important. A lot of people need their doors cut down because they scrape on the floor or they're too low. Now, in this day and age, almost every door is made, even if it's a solid door, with a skin on top of the type wood or the type finish that's going to be on that door, be it a masonite door or a wood door. The top layer is probably just a skin of material over laminated material that keeps a door from warping and bowing. It's actually a better type door than a solid door in most cases. But cutting one of those doors off, instead of just running a saw blade across the bottom line that you're going to cut on, score that bottom line with like a razor knife, or score through the first layer of material, which is wood, and cut just right at that line or just below that line, and this will prevent the door from splintering. And you don't need the door to splinter it, because if you don't score a line, you're apt to have a piece of that veneer that is on the door splinter, and once you've cut off the door, that part is going to show. But once you've done the actual scoring of a line and cutting, then it's pretty smooth. Take a little piece of sandpaper and sand the bottom of it smooth, and then you'll be finished at that point in time. Your door will be cut off, and be cut off without any kind of promise or any kind of danger whatsoever. It can really do a great job for you. Hey, Atlas Foundation! Hey, say hi to Tony Arpino for me. Hi, Tony. Tony's out there. He's probably not working today. Tony, why are you not working today? Who knows? It's Saturday, baby. But you call Tony. If you've got a slab foundation and need some work on, Tony Arpino is the man, and he wants to come to your place and do that work for you without large trucks, without 10,000 men, without shovels and picks and hammers and whatnot. Two men in a pickup truck and a little bit of work, one day, 2 days at most, they're going to get your foundation the way you like it to be. Tony Arpino, you call him at 800-256-1010. That's 800-256-1010. Tony Arpino really knows how to take care of slab foundations. He's been doing it for years. He studied under a Army engineers in Vicksburg. He really has a degree in soils and all of the things that are necessary to know about foundations. Tony Arpino, Atlas Foundation, 800-256-1010. Tell him you heard all about him right here on the Rock and Roll Handyman Show. At the Build Mississippi Studios. Great, great organization. Build Mississippi is. I hope that everybody who's involved in that industry this weekend is enjoying the rest of the fourth weekend that we're having. I know a lot of my family's probably at a pool somewhere today. If they're not out just enjoying themselves doing something else, road races or whatever, running. Crazy things that people do. Well, let's talk a little bit about concrete patch. There are many types of concrete patch out there. A concrete patch that patches the cracks in the driveway. And that's a different type of concrete sealer than anything. It's a self-leveling concrete filler that actually fills the cracks in your concrete and keeps water from seeping in and keeps weeds from growing up through them. And it can really do a great job. And it is a concrete product. It very nicely does your driveway the way that your driveway should be done. And it comes in a couple of different colors so that you can match it to your driveway as best as you want. Also, an important item in concrete patch is called mortar patch. And I did talk about this pretty extensively last week, where the brick and your mortar on your house, there seems to be a crack running along the mortar line, and it may even be an angular crack where it comes down a brick and slides down the side of the brick and goes over another side. But it doesn't matter whether it's a straight crack or an angular crack. That needs to be filled. And they do make mortar patch. They make it in gray, which a lot of mortar really is, so it matches very, very well. And it comes in caulking tubes, very easy to apply, very easy to put on. And Then there's other caulking that may be of a different color. Well, they do make different color mortar patch that is available. Harder to find the colored ones, but still, they're available, and they're ready to use. Mortar patch is good stuff, and it really does a great job in making your house look really well. And it's not very loud. Once it's put up, it just about disappears. You don't hardly see the crack at all. Then there's a product called Vinyl Concrete Patch. And it usually is sold in buckets, you know, five-pound bucket or something like that is generally what it's sold in. Vinyl concrete patch is a premix of concrete with vinyl shards already in it. And the shards act as sort of like rebar, if you will, kind of holding the concrete more together. And it makes the concrete much stronger by having those vinyl shards in there. And it's great for just that, for patching concrete. The beauty of vinyl concrete patch is it can be laid out very thin on concrete and stay in position and not break away as a lot of concrete without vinyl, and it will do. And it really is a great product. It works quite well. Vinyl concrete patch, I've used it a number of times for different things, and it works extremely well. And it does the job that you'll wish it did. And another type of concrete patch is water stop patch. It's made out of concrete material, but it can also go in like anywhere where there's water leakage. It can plug up water leakage and stop it. Now, I'm not going to say it will fix plumbing pipes, because no, that's not made for that. But if you have water leakage like from anything at all, the water plug can really stop it up and do a good job in making that happen. It's very good that you use water stop from time to time. And it's not something that a lot of people use, but when they do, when they use it once, they go, oh, this is pretty good stuff. Next thing you know, they're using it on a regular basis, and it works. It works very well. All right, while we're talking about bricks and mortar and all that stuff, it's important that we keep the weep holes in our brick open. Weep holes are at the bottom of our brick, about maybe four or five layers up from our brick, and what they do is allow between the brick wall and the sheathing of your house is like maybe an inch space. And that space builds up moisture from time to time, and that moisture has to escape out of there in order to keep your house in good, livable condition. And most times that water escapes through what we call weep holes. Weep holes are the space between bricks that don't have mortar in them that actually allow that wall to breathe. They do make covers for the weep holes to keep insects from going inside of weep holes. If that's one of your concerns, you can get covers for your weep holes. They're very inexpensive, and they do allow air through, and they do allow moisture out. But weep holes a lot of times get covered up with landscaping or bushes or, all the leaf landscaping or all the pine needles get piled up on it and they can't breathe properly. Well, that's not good for your home. And it also offers an entry into your house for insects. So make sure your weep holes are wide open and breathing as they should be breathing. Important to do. All right. Handyman Show right here at Super Talk Mississippi at the Building Mississippi Studios. And we're just talking about taking care of things around the house and how people really enjoy working with wood and all the modern tools that are available today. You can get all sorts of things going. And we'll be back in a few minutes. We're going to keep on talking a little bit about house maintenance and the things you can do around your house to take care of them. Buddy, here with you at Build Mississippi Studios here at Super Talk. Don't go away. Be right back.
the news that matters to Mississippi on Middays with Gerard Gibbert. Middays with Gerard Gibbert. Each weekday starting at 10 a.m., Gerard brings you a spirited debate on the key stories of the day with the newsmakers and powerful reporting on the issues you care about. Listen on your local Super Talk station or anywhere you get Super Talk Mississippi, and watch the show live on CSPIRE Channel 70, Super Talk TV, and on the Super Talk Mississippi app. You know that nowadays, most people go online to look at a business before they spend their money. What if the online information about your business is incorrect, or even worse, not very flattering? If your online presence isn't great, you may be losing customers. STMM Digital's trusted and highly trained team is the answer. We're ready to work with you to help your business capitalize on the power of digital marketing. Call 601-991-2305 or go to stmmdigital.com to get started today.
We've sent that...
Now they can lead. Oh, come on, play the lead. I can't do it. All right. Handyman Show right here at Bill Mississippi Studios. My name is Buddy, and we're going to be here until 12, a few more minutes. So any questions you might have, very good time to get them on because, hey, send us a text. Text line is 601-879-4395. It's our C-Spire text line. We'd be happy to take your text at any time. I got a little time for a call. If you'd like to call us at 888-808-8637. And we're running short on time, so you have to hurry up and get it in if you want to. At any rate, getting back to talking about handyman stuff, I was talking to a builder, I think it was yesterday, maybe it had been the day before, and we were talking about... and he seemed to be like he knew what he was doing as far as a builder is concerned, and he had been around the bush a bunch of times. He's been building for a number of years, and he was a total believer in keeping a job site clean. Not when you're finished, but on a daily basis, working on the house, so that when you work on a project, you can walk on the project without stepping on boards with nails in them or loose boards, or everything is neat and in a place where it belongs, including all the tools. A lot of times, builders nowadays are taking their tools with them as they go because leaving them on site, you can risk losing them so easily. There's so much thievery going on in that industry, or certainly has been in the past. I hope it's dwelled a little bit, but it may not have. But keeping a clean work site is probably so important, which also boils down to when you're doing little projects around the house. Any project that you're doing, any time that you say, that's it for today, I'm going to work on it again tomorrow, make sure the area you're working on is cleaned up absolutely. All the power tools are put up where they can't be reached by children and are made the way they should be made. And it's very, very important. Lance, you got a red light on. What's on?
Well, no, I was just admiring your take on keeping a job site clean.
Oh, it's so important.
Because there's two ways to do it.
Yeah.
Keep it clean or not.
Yeah.
And I can tell you from a year of getting the cabin back and, you know, showing up with nails everywhere and broken boards everywhere and piles over here and piles over there and junk here and junk there, you just don't get to appreciate, to me, the work that's being done. It looks like a garbage pit.
It does.
And it reflects to me on the crews that are doing that.
Yes, indeed.
And I'm not a fan of it. I like clean and orderly. I like a plan. I like communication face to face.
Oh my God!
So a lot of the things we've talked about today are kind of like an old way of doing things.
Yeah.
Face to face communication. Make sure you do things the right way. Talk to professionals. Keep your workplace clean. Have a plan. If you don't know answers, find somebody that does. I mean, these are things I think that carry over week to week each time. But keeping your job site clean, let me tell you something, man. You throw 10 nails out today, by the end of the week, that's 100 nails that's going to be all over. And you're going to be buying tires. These things are very important. And I don't mean to harp on it, but I cannot – absolute pet peeve.
Yeah,
and seeing any job site that looks like that.
I was an outside lumber salesman for a number of years, and I had to go to job sites every day. And the biggest – it is one of my pet peeves, going up to a job site that is not cleaned, that has never been cleaned. You can tell that it's not cleaned, and it's just like a disaster. Most of the job sites were kept in pretty good shape. They really were. And I think that's a credit to the builders that – As Lance said, it reflects on the quality of the construction which they're doing. It really, really does. So I think keeping a work site clean, regardless of what size project it is, whether it's a house or maybe it's just a farmhouse table, keep the area clean. That's important. All right. And the builder I was talking to the other day agreed with that as well. That's because he keeps his job sites very clean, very important to do. And that's just something that we need to do. Well, what are headers in construction? Headers are what holds the roof up on the foundation from crashing down. And headers, generally speaking, how is a header made? You take two 2x12s, about, let's just say, 38, 40 inches long. You stand them upright, and in between them you put a half-inch piece of plywood or some 7/16 wafer board, and you laminate them together with screws, nails, or whatever it takes to make it. That is what's called a header. The header is then placed up above where your door is going to go and held in place by what they call jack rafters. These are 2x4s that go from the header all the way down to the foundation plate, and they carry the weight of the roof on that header and transfer it down to the foundation. Headers are very important. And the size of your header, whether it be 2x12, 2x10, 2x8, 2x6, and in some cases you can even get away with 2x4s depending on what you're putting in that hole that you're going to create. Headers are used basically for windows and for doors. And if you're just doing a little bit of space like a 3L window, then you really don't need a 2x12 header up there. Less would do. Probably a double 2x6 header would work fine up there. Maybe a 2x8 header. And headers generally are made from the scrap that's used to pour foundations, to use the foundation framing. Well, they use that material for header material. And it works extremely well. It's, instead of wasting that material, they use it again and use it many, many times. So headers are very important to carry the weight of your foundation, of your roof, to the foundation. Headers make things a lot more stable and a lot stronger for us as they should and as we want them to be. And that's important. It's important to know what headers are in construction. And also, headers are loosely called, like sometimes the trim inside of a window, the header piece of a trim can be up top, and people can call it a header, but it's still, it's just trim. It's not really a header. It's really just trim. And that's just, people call them headers, though. That's all right. They can call them anything they want to. Hey, as long as they don't call them late for lunch. And they're not going to call me late for lunch today, too, either. I'll be leaving here. I'm going to lunch, believe me. That's where I'm headed. But at any rate, it is the 4th of July weekend, and I hope that you and your family are enjoying the 4th and having a great time and have realized what the 4th is all about, the birth of this great, great nation, 1776. What we've turned into since 1776, I don't know. I can't explain that. I refuse to.
The birth of the nation and the creation of the hot dog, I think, and the day that you're supposed to eat the hot dog.
Is that right?
All happens on that. I don't think it actually happened on that day, but I do believe that the hot dog and July 4th go together.
Did you make that up?
I made that up.
I figured.
Worthless trivia.
But hey, let's. I bet we can make people believe that the hot dog was invented and made in 1776.
On July 4th, yes.
On July 4th. And that's why we eat so many. Hey, you've been spending 2 hours listening to the Rock and Roll Handyman Show. We'll be back next Saturday at the Build Mississippi Studios. I hope you join us then. Tell your friends the Handyman's on Super Talk. We're going to be here each and every week. Thank you, Gary Parker. We appreciate you being here with us. And talk to you next week at Super Talk. Bye-bye.
We're on our way to Boston to get some clam chowder. Bye-bye.
You know that nowadays, most people go online to look at a business before they spend their money. Do you have an old, outdated website or just a Facebook page and still not bringing in customers? Targeted digital advertising from STMM Digital's highly trained and trusted staff is the answer. We're ready to work with you to help your business capitalize on the power of digital marketing. Call 601-991-2305. Or go to stmmdigital.com to get started today.
Are you looking for a contractor for your new home or remodel? Go licensed. Unlicensed contractors may try to convince you that pulling your own permit can save you money, but they may do shoddy work, or in some cases, no work at all, costing you far more in the long run. Protect yourself and your investment by comparing estimates from 3 licensed contractors. Remember, go licensed.
For more information, contact the Mississippi State Board of Contractors at msboc.us.
Hi, I'm Josh Quick, the owner of Mid-South Crawl Space Solutions, formerly known as Clean Space of Central Mississippi. Our name may have changed, but our expertise remains. An unhealthy crawl space can invite mold, bugs, and buckling floors. This affects not only your crawl space, but compromises the health of your entire home. Our Clean Space system will transform your crawl space into a dry, healthy, clean environment that will save you energy and money. No more moisture, no more mold, no more smells. Still doing free estimates at mscrawlspace.com.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.